Welcome to Corazon Technologies, home of the Digital Executive Podcast.
Welcome to the Digital Executive. Today's guest is Kevin Bailey. Kevin Bailey is the founder and CEO of Design First. Clients and staff rely on Kevin's strategic vision to guide funding, market entry, and the full suite of development decisions. The company's results with new product development speaks for itself. More than 1,000 entrepreneurs, startups, and global corporations such as Ericsson, Motorola, Acer, Stanley Tools, and Christie Digital have brought product ideas to life under Kevin's guidance. Kevin is a professional engineer, angel, and VC investor, and one of Canada's leading experts at bringing new hardware products to market. Well, good afternoon, Kevin. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Brian. It's a pleasure being here.
Absolutely. This is awesome. Just love getting on, talking to a new person every single day. And a lot of times we got to traverse the globe. So I appreciate you jumping on and making the time this afternoon. Kevin, we're going to jump right into the questions here. Let's talk a little bit about you, your career, and where you've gone. You started out as an engineer, worked in product development. Now you're the founder and CEO of Design First. Could you share with our audience the secret to your career growth and what inspires you?
Sure. Okay, that's great. I talk more about sort of my career growth is built on, I'm an engineer, obviously, and I've been working since late 70s, early 80s in product development. So I've seen lots of things come and go. But if I said, you know, from a person on the outside, you know, what is my secret of my career growth? Well, I'll say one thing is ignorance. I think I chased passion. I didn't have a five-year plan. I just went after what I really like to do. And that is my desire, which is to make products, to build physical things and make useful devices. So passion, obviously, is what drove me. Along the way, I collected a lovely wife and three lovely children. So fear was part of what motivates my career growth and feeding three kids and really having the money to choose some of the things I want to do in life, including developing companies. And I've done a couple now and getting involved in investing and reinvesting back into other products and useful things for people.
That's awesome. Thank you. And believe it or not, there's someone that can resonate with your story. And we have these stories all the time here on the podcast, but I do appreciate that. And you're right. A lot of us, you know, could be fear or motivation, or we've got a family, we've got kids to feed. There's a lot of different factors that come into this when people start their career or their entrepreneurship. So I appreciate the share. So Kevin, you've helped design many products. You know, we just talked about that. Talk to us a bit about your design process and how you are bringing great products to the market.
I was fortunate enough, you know, of going to a good school and having good family support. And I came out in the 80s when the market was hot for telecommunications. So the one thing telecommunications does is it's only effective when parties can connect remotely. Phones was, you know, where it was at, but moved on to devices and data and integration and video and audio and things. So I've always been around the complexity of interhuman communications. It's not designing an object that, you know, fits in a car engine and, you know, has to live its life underneath a hood. It's really about that complex interaction between people, which is the device shouldn't get in the way of the interaction. And that's really the goal, is to achieve that. So how do you do that, right? And so through the 80s, through the 90s, I got onto global teams. We did some really interesting audio devices to start with. And then, you know, we dreamed up fridges that had displays and telephones that had displays on them. And we got to go because I was part of a fairly large team that was thinking globally at Nortel Networks. We had 100 people on our particular group that were cognitive psychologists, experimental psychologists, industrial designers, user interface people, and then the host of engineering, mechanical and hardware and software, firmware embedded and network, because all this requires two people. If you're not connected through a phone, through a couple of wires to someone else in your community, you're actually dealing overseas through underground cable and delays and issues. You've got a fairly complex network that had to build itself out through the 80s and 90s and 2000s till we get to where we are today, roughly, which is handling massive amounts of data at high speed so that we can all interact as we're doing now in a seamless way, as if we were in the same room or in the same community.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate that. And there was a lot of R&D back in the day. In fact, you know, I think a lot of us have used a Nortel phone system at some point in their career. But interesting to know that you were part of that and that development process and have really taken that knowledge and transformed some companies. So thank you. Kevin, you're obviously leveraging some new and emerging technology within your business today. This is what the podcast is all about. We like to dive in a little bit. Is there anything you might be able to share with us today?
Sure. And, we're a service, right? So, what can be novel or innovative about a service? And the novel thing is that the goal of more and more people with ideas to get to market, it's not just large companies, small companies with good ideas that have funding and a business team that wants to put that device or application or service or software that requires a hardware component into the market. We're an enabler. So how do you do that? You've got to be nimble. You've got to apply. The term AI is really the reuse of existing knowledge in a effective and more, it's taking a library of everything we've done in the past on the 1,000 products and bringing it to the table for the next person in the door, where bits and pieces of things that were useful and were developed can be brought together in a new application. So emerging technologies, there's obviously the integration of electronics, where more and more is getting put into very complex chips, and we deal with them and programming them and working through them, but also in making sure that we're not jumping into something just because it's novel and new. We're making sure from a client's perspective that we're picking something that's got enough mileage on it that most of the bugs have been worked out, so they don't become the guinea pig, that launches that new technology. So there's a bit of a yin-yang between the emerging technologies in my world, which is hardware and electronics, and the sort of early stage integration of biochemistries and things into new products. But I would say that the world is not that much different than it was in the 80s and 90s. We're just making faster decisions with better tools and better reuse of libraries and information from a software perspective, from a hardware perspective, and also from materials reuse from the physical world in terms of bringing appropriate processes to develop a product that meets your needs but doesn't bring too much risk into the equation. So you can get it to market. You can sort of debug it with your user groups as you bring new things to market in a way that doesn't cause your business to fail because you took too much risk in areas that really didn't matter.
Thank you, Kevin. And I do appreciate that. We have come a long way, but like you said, we've just become more disciplined, leveraging new tools and really putting all that knowledge to use. So thank you for sharing that. And Kevin, last question for this evening. Can you share something from your career experience that would be helpful for those looking to grow their career in either tech or entrepreneurship?
That's a great question. I look back at I'm sitting on the other side of knowing a bunch of things, and I'm 40 years into this world, and I know how to navigate it. I know the different areas of risk, opportunity, the reaching out, where in the world you find things and how do you bring people together and stuff. So the person that's just starting out, it's pretty daunting. And I'll go back to what I said earlier. My ignorance led me to just keeping going forward. So if you're getting into this, I have to be replaced. All the people that do what I do need to be replaced. So that's one thing to think about. I was on my way to hockey last night, and I drove by the University of Ottawa, and I was stopped at a stoplight. I look over, and it's large glass windows, and there's hundreds of students sitting around, looking in books, waiting for the bus and things. And I reflect back on just how difficult that time is when you are, looking at a very scary world or maybe a challenging world, whatever it is. And how do you motivate yourself and drive yourself forward to just go after your passions, develop the skills, get involved with things that are interesting to you. There's lots of opportunity around. It's hard to get into. You can't just jump into, the light speed. You've got to build those skills in materials and build the skills in the different areas of product development, if that's what you're interested in, especially hardware. And over time, you will build up that knowledge. You will build up that network. You will tie yourself to companies like ours at Design First that do these very innovative things. And you will pick up the skills, the process skills of how you go from that concept to something that's reasonable as a potential solution to test it with users and to refine it. Because 10% is sort of coming up with the idea and testing it out and saying, this is the direction, this feels good. And 90% are the details of what materials and, where the risks lie and how many parts and where in the world are they all going to come from? What manufacturing processes? There's just 1,000 decisions to make. And to navigate that takes time and to be patient with that. And, it's very rewarding. So if you're into technology, and whether it be software or hardware, just to keep going, do the schooling, build your network, volunteer for things, get involved in as much things as you can, show enthusiasm. That's what companies like ours look for, is somebody that just absolutely does this night and day because they just can't stop it. You know, it's in their heads. And those are the people that end up in this industry. So good luck to those people that want to do that, and don't lose heart and don't be distracted by how busy this world looks, because all of us move on and the opportunity space is right for the people that are interested coming in.
Thank you. I do appreciate that. And again, we've got all kinds of people in our audience, from a lot of technologists, obviously, but a lot of entrepreneurs and everything from physicians to, you know, chemists here. So very helpful. And Kevin, the last thing I'd like to say, it was a pleasure having you on today. And I look forward to speaking with you real soon.
Brian, thank you for the time and access to the users and the viewers that are going to share in what I do. It's always a pleasure to meet new people and share opportunities. So thank you.
Bye for now.